called down the thunder. Well, now you got it.
Welcome to PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert, hosting alone tonight as my lovely wife Sharon, who does have half of my brain. So if I'm a little confused or at a loss for words tonight, you'll understand why. But she's been housebreaking a puppy all day today. Java, our nine-week-old Dorkie, that's Dachshund Yorkie mix, is upstairs and finally down for the night. As we go to record here on the 23rd of February, just past 10 p.m. Central Time, about 0400 Greenwich Mean Time. Well, if you've ever spent any time at all trying to housebreak a puppy, you know that it's like having another child in the house. And even with the help of Murphy, our bunker chief of security, it's been a full-time job. So a little late this evening. I just got back a little while ago from a concert tonight. Our daughter playing with the symphonic orchestra in a program at one of the local colleges tonight. So had a fine evening of entertainment, and now down to the news. We've got the third part of our interview with Scott Stevens of WeatherWars.info coming up in just a couple of minutes. Last night we left off just as we were starting to talk about the entities behind some of the weather control that's going on here. So you definitely want to stick around and listen to the interview tonight. The topic of discussion gets really into some of the gets right to the heart of what we talk about here on Peering into Darkness, the spiritual aspect of the headlines that we see in the news each day. Speaking of those, we raised a couple of topics yesterday that I wanted to get into a little further. Obviously, the topic of turning over control of American ports to the UAE is still in the news, but there are some details that aren't really making it into the mainstream news, so we want to make sure we bring those out. Once again, the Northeast Intelligence Network is right on the job. Sean Osborne, one of the analysts for the network, pointed out an article from March of last year that where it was reported that the Central Intelligence Agency, now this was during testimony in front of the 9/11 Commission, the Central Intelligence Agency actually held off on a possible strike against Osama bin Laden in the days following 9/11 in Afghanistan because George Tenet testified he had about 10 members of the royal family of the UAE with him at the time. Now think about that for a minute. This was after 9/11, and we know this because Tenet later testified at this hearing that the CIA didn't start flying those drones, those unmanned drones, until October 7th of 2001. Okay, so they had Osama in their sights, but they held off on making the strike because, Tenet said, had the CIA targeted bin Laden, half of the UAE's royal family would have been wiped out as well. Now, doesn't that disturb you that we are proposing selling control or allowing the sale of control from one foreign company to another for a half dozen of our largest ports to this royal family? If this war on terror is genuine, it should concern you. And again, as Doug Hagman of Northeast Intelligence Network pointed out yesterday, it's not just those six ports, it's also the ports of Corpus Christi and Beaumont, Texas, through which a good deal of heavy American military equipment is shipped. Okay. One other note, Reuters reported today that the deal that allows for the transfer of the control of the ports to this Dubai Ports World was analyzed by a new and obscure intelligence agency within the U.S. government. This agency has only existed for 4 months. It's called the Intelligence Community Acquisition Risk Center, or CARC, C-A-R-C, which is overseen by the office of the new intelligence czar, John Negroponte. This group is supposed to be in charge of vetting sales of sensitive American businesses to foreign companies. but it's only been around for 4 months. Now, it may well be that these guys did their job the way they were supposed to. It may be that they have checked everything that they possibly could check. But knowing that, within the office of the vice president, they set up the Office of Special Plans specifically to cook up reasons to go to war against Iraq in the first place. It doesn't give me a warm fuzzy looking at this sale and knowing that it's been cleared by a brand new intelligence agency set up by the president's handpicked intelligence czar. Just another piece of the puzzle that needs to be passed along. We also talked about the sale of some other infrastructure assets yesterday, and specifically we mentioned the Indiana Toll Road. And I wanted to throw out a couple more details about that. My facts weren't entirely accurate yesterday, and that really bugs me when I pass along information that's not correct. The toll road is not for sale. It is technically being considered for lease. Governor Mitch Daniels of Indiana wants to lease the toll road, the Indiana Toll Road, which is Interstate 80 and 90, stretches from Chicago across the northern part of the state to a consortium based out of Spain and Australia. And I did not know this, but this consortium, this company, already operates the Chicago Skyway, which is a little section of highway that connects northwest Indiana to just south of downtown Chicago. And apparently they paid about $1.8 billion for a 99-year lease on the Chicago Skyway, and it looks like they're going to turn a profit on the deal. The lease bid for the Indiana Toll Road is $3.85 billion for a 75-year lease. Now, here's the way this would work. The state of Indiana would get $3.85 billion in one lump sum payment. Governor Daniels says that money would then be taken and used to invest in other infrastructure within the state, other roads, bridges, projects that are needed. Essentially, he's taking this money, which so far, the Indiana Toll Road has been a self-supporting highway. I mean, it's the main east-west route across northern Indiana, unlike the Chicago Skyway, where you've got some free alternatives to paying the tolls. If you want to cross northern Indiana, you pretty much have to take the Indiana Toll Road. It has paid for itself and then some, and has actually generated revenue for the counties through which the Indiana Toll Road passes. But under this plan, basically, that benefit is going to spread to the whole state. At least that's the plan. Skeptics are saying that they don't have a lot of answers yet. Our problem, again, is that this seems to be a disturbing trend of selling off U.S. infrastructure or control of U.S. infrastructure to foreign companies. Now, we don't have anything against the Spanish. We like the Australians. But if we're going to do this, if we're going to privatize control of public infrastructure, isn't there an American company that can do this? And if not, why not? I'm not sure that selling off the infrastructure to control of the infrastructure is such a good idea to begin with, but I think this is something we're going to see more of, and we will do another program on this down the road on the emergence of public-private partnerships, or PPPs. And we talked about this a couple of months back, how government in some parts of England is basically being taken over by private firms. We may see that. This may be just the opening of a new trend here in the United States. Now, I know out in Colorado, they've got a lot of concerns about the Front Range Toll Road, which is a 12-mile-wide strip, if I understand this correctly, a 12-mile-wide chunk of land that that is proposed to be carved right across the state of Colorado, there's a lot of upset there. It's not making national news, but it is something we're going to have to check into, because I guarantee that this is something we're going to see more and more of if we don't sit up and take notice now. If you wait until you see the notice in your local newspaper, it's going to be too late. This living in a representative republic is hard work. Well, part three of our interview with Scott Stevens. Fascinating talk, certainly more interesting than listening to me blather, especially because, again, Sharon was part of that interview, so the other half of my brain is back.
Scott Stevens, weatherwars.info, is our guest on PID Radio. And yesterday we had just begun down a very tantalizing road, which gets right at the heart of what we do here in PID land, here in the bunker, which is discussing who might be responsible in the spiritual realm for this battle that we're fighting. Scott, you'd mentioned something yesterday about entities possibly being responsible for the loss of the two shuttles. Well, care to elaborate on that?
No.
Before you do, have you made out your will, and can we notify your next of kin?
Who's listening outside the bunker is what I want to know.
Everybody.
Well, yeah, we've already taken direct contact with your house from
everybody.
Above.
I know.
That's right, yeah.
Well, in my January archives, we've got a picture of a lightning strike hitting Columbia at reentry. As it was reentering the Earth's atmosphere back, what was it, February 1, 03?
Oh, my. I'm looking at the picture right now.
And NASA was very interested in it, took the camera, and then eventually assumed it was, quote, camera shake. And then they continued on with their styrofoam issue being responsible for punching holes. Well, I would think the more likely candidate would be a strike of mega lightning rather than from some, you know, light piece of foam hitting the ring root, mm-hmm. Which has happened on virtually every launch.
Yeah, exactly.
It baffles me. And it's just another discussion where out of NASA you can never get a straight answer.
Yeah, and this was reported by the San Francisco Chronicle, I see. So this was in the mainstream media, but promptly forgotten.
I remember when this came out, mm-hmm. and it was, as you say, it disappeared very quickly.
It did, because they did not want to discuss this issue. They did not want to discuss, actually it would have opened a whole can of worms. And I saw on National Geographic afterwards, about a year and a half afterwards, and the show was called Mega Lightning. And they went through all of the discoveries we're making about the electrical processes of the atmosphere and how previous to this strike on Columbia that there had been sensors through the West who had infrasound data or infrasound anomalies appear at pulses of energy that were at levels too low for us to hear. And then we have the strike, and then, of course, the catastrophic failure that resulted, or at least began, sometime shortly afterwards. And they all but said in the show that it was caused by lightning. And they probably would have gone a little bit further if NASA would have been willing to let them go a little bit further. But they basically laid out the entire case for the Scalar Energy Program. And it was kind of heartening that they could have really wrapped up the whole show and had it incredibly riveting and complete if they had just included the Scalar aspect in the last 2 minutes. But, it was on National Geographic. It's called Mega Lightning. So if you're, you know, flipping through the channel sometime in the next while and come across that show, watch it. It's very enlightening. It isn't the whole story, but it's a good portion of it.
I wonder if they sell the DVD of that.
I bet they do. For $34.95.
Well, it's worth it to me. I'll have to contact him. I'm sorry, we're all out of those.
You know, and some of them are even streamed now on the web. People have been a little brave with their copyright issues and then encoded it and streamed the show back out. So that may be something you could look for as well, or mm-hmm. the listener could. But it's very enlightening and really lays a very nice background for the evidence of scalar weapons, as does another show called The Invisible Machine.
Mm-hmm.
And that discusses other electromagnetic or EM weapons that have been developed and tested, and there's video from that and other examples. This one across eastern Canada, Newfoundland, if I recall correctly, where it appeared very likely that there was a test of an EM weapon. Newfoundland also being the location where we had a DC-8 brought down.
That's right.
Back in, I want to say 1985 as well, some servicemen were returning from Europe for Christmas. And that was another scalar strike issue. But again, it was a military asset. And we have been in this state of war for so very long that we tend to write off these military asset disasters as natural disasters simply because we don't have the context to put these mechanical failures properly into, to quantify and to categorize what's happened to them.
Not long ago, an Iranian jet carrying some of the top members of its military crashed in northern Iran. And
very curious.
Yeah, and the crash, they said, was caused by the simultaneous failure of, if I remember the story correctly, of all the engines on the plane.
Yep. Same thing. And that's why flying is not as safe as it would be if these weapons were under civilian oversight.
Mm-hmm.
That flight records of Boeing and Airbus and McDonnell Douglas, I mean, is far, far better than what statistics would reveal. If you take out this covert war, it's incredibly safe to fly, and there's amazing redundancies built into these aircraft. It's just that we have this cabal of evil men,
mm-hmm.
and they tend to do their will in rather subversive ways.
Go
ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask you a question about something that I think most of our listeners probably remember, because it was only back in, I think, 2002, and that was the great blackout of the Northeast. It was blamed on a squirrel.
It was, and see, I'd heard it was blamed on a software issue.
Uh-huh.
Honestly, that event didn't capture my attention, so I didn't really dig into some of the other storylines that were running at the same time. But it was predicted to happen by a very interesting software outfit, or actually, it's a language outfit called Half Past Human.
Oh yeah, we're familiar with that.
You're familiar? Oh boy.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They had
the web bot.
George Ure.
Yeah.
George Ure and it's interesting what they see coming up over the coming weeks and months ahead. Do you follow the work at all?
We do, not personally, but we listen to Steve Quayle, and he often has George Ure on there.
Okay. Well, good. Because the new report out was actually issued today, and, today being today.
Today being Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah, Saturday, February 18th, for those of you who are tracking, yeah.
We live in
there
virtual
you go.
Time.
That's right.
Yeah, radio land is different than web land and TV land. But they see a new context coming, and how civilization, all of us, are going to have to go through some changes, beginning about the equinox time and then on through the rest of this summer. And that there are weather aspects. There are aspects of this planet's climate change, economic aspects. All of these are going to have some finger in the pie in affecting how this how the world views itself very differently over the coming months. Whether it's issues with scarcity, restriction in travel, which could mean bird flu, it could mean an absence of petroleum because of what we want to do with Iran.
Right.
You know, there are so many potentials on the table that. You know, it's kind of exciting to see coming, but also a little scary at the same time, depending on your spiritual maturity, to be
right.
honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that is the truth. By the way, for those who are wondering, we're actually recording this on Saturday, February 18th. This segment of the interview will be played next Thursday, February 23rd. So if something happens between now and then, Scott, you're going to come off like a prophet.
Well, I don't know who... Let's just say we have the capability to see the little larger picture with an open mind. So, and we're seeing other unusual seismic anomalies all across the Pacific Basin.
Mm-hmm.
The western U.S., the Cascade volcanoes all being pulsed by this scalar energy. We've got two active volcanoes now in the Aleutian Island chain.
Mm-hmm.
This last week, the activity in the Philippines was just obscene. Absolutely obscene.
Mm-hmm.
And then they ended up with,
of course,
this
the big mudslide. Yeah,
oh, that's horrible. The mountain just crumbled.
Yeah, 1,800 dead.
And you don't know, we don't know if there wasn't literally just a vibration set up. And you know what happens when you have something very muddy and already water sogged? If you shake it a little,
mm-hmm.
it's going to slough down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happened. And that was something the bots saw as well. These web bots. So who knows, but they definitely see something very, very large happening within the next several weeks. And so just preparation to kind of gird up your inner emotional states probably would be a wise thing to do, because we're all going to be faced with some incredible challenges in the weeks and years ahead. But we wouldn't be here if we weren't capable of facing them.
Mm-hmm.
And dealing with them and finding the inner strength in companionship with those around you or just with yourself and your connection to the divine to get through these things that are coming.
That's so well said, and that is the main reason we do this. We really try to look at the spiritual aspect behind it and try to let people know, you know, open your eyes to what's going on politically, to what's going on in your neighborhood. But more than that, think about how you deal with the people around you. And, you know, ask yourself, just George Bush aside, frankly, are you going to live tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
So live today as if it really is your last day.
Well, and we don't all come here with a conscious awareness of the individual purpose of our lives. Society is addictive, it's caustic in nature, and it doesn't allow for us to really express who we truly and fully are, and indeed goes to great lengths to distract us from finding that life's purpose.
I often feel that way at work.
Isn't that the truth? But it's terribly simple. I mean, we are here for experience. Experience, and then that experience providing us the opportunity to become more than we are. It's very simple. And if we realize that we will put ourselves, our higher selves, our spirit self, will put us in positions and provide us with numerous opportunities to achieve the goals, the growth that we come here to accomplish, then we can look at life in a different way. We don't become victims. And that's what the fearmongers want, is us to become victims. Because once you become victimized, you are powerless to affect your outcome, your change. And so once you're empowered with knowledge, with courage, with awareness of what's going on, it's impossible to be victimized. And you maintain control of your destiny. And that's one thing that they're trying to do to us as a collective country. Is victimize us. This was one of the reasons for all of the hurricanes, to create more victims, people who feel powerless. When they have so much physically taken away from them that they don't have the emotional, the inner spiritual strength to then bounce back and can contribute to society, but then become an emotional, a physical, a financial drag on the rest of us. They become howling victims, and that's something that we cannot let them continue to do to us as we move from actually into the next storm season, or honestly just even into tomorrow, because they have the technology to play God.
Have you ever seen the Georgia Guidestones?
You're not the first one to bring that up to me. No, I have not.
Well, you should take a look at it. You just do a Google search for it, and we'll try to find a link to the actual text. There are, is it 10? It's almost like the Ten Commandments, but it's I think there are 10 guidelines, and one of them is to reduce the world population by 90%.
To a sustainable level of 500 million.
Yeah.
But do you know why they have allowed the population to grow so grossly out of control during the last century?
No.
It's simply to harvest the soul energy that will be in a state of despair, of fear, of anxiety, of hopelessness, of lost. These entities feed on those base emotions. And as we go through this time of cleansing, as we clean the earth of these old energies, they want the maximum amount of people here that will manifest those base emotions. So these entities, which are not in physical manifestation here on this planet, will feed off that. It will simply be like sharks to blood.
We may not see eye to eye on all matters spiritual, but I think you're right on the money as far as that goes. Very, very much so. I mean, it is not a secret that those practitioners of, you know, black magic or ritual magic with a K, who are involved in the sacrifice of human victims try to maximize the pain and torture and fear of the victims because for that very reason, because there is power in yep. that suffering.
And this is why they want the victims, because they feel powerless.
Mm-hmm.
And they will attract to them. This is one of the basic laws of the universe, is that of attraction. Like attracts like. Victim mm-hmm. attracts abuser.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are helpless, you will attract somebody who will take advantage of that mental state.
Well, sadly, there are a lot of women that have learned that.
Mm-hmm.
But we all have to go through that experience to be able to turn from it and into a position of knowledge and self-empowerment. And hence the meaning of life is to gather those experiences so you can choose which not to participate in. And let those who have not yet learned that experience, live that experience into wisdom, you have to allow them to do that. That is their right, to go through those experiences and then find the inner strength to stand up and simply walk away from it and not play the game any longer. It's the same with an abusive husband and wife, or a person who is addicted to drugs or alcohol. You can provide them the information and the opportunities to leave, but they have to find the personal fortitude from inside mm-hmm. to stand up from the table and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
And until they choose to do that, you have to allow that experience to go on.
Well, let me ask you a question just for direction.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the next phase of this weather war thing is going to be with regard to the Illuminati that are trying to scare us?
The reason for the hurricanes, cut into the quick, was an infection of poverty that will spread across this country. We cannot afford to heal all of the damage, to repair all the damage that has been done.
Mm-hmm.
There will be other incidents, weather-wise, that will be just as bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've got two developing now. The biggest one that will probably have, I shouldn't quantify them just yet because they haven't developed fully, but I think we've got a drought, a Dust Bowl situation developing mm-hmm. from Southern California and across much of Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we'll be watching Dust Bowl 06.
Mm-hmm.
We've got 300,000 acres that have been burned off by those Christmas and January fires through Texas mm-hmm. and Oklahoma. You bring in the spring winds, and much of that dirt, that soot, without vegetation to hold it down, as we learned in the 30s, will then begin to develop into dust.
Mm-hmm.
And that will precipitate some of the food shortages that the web bots have been seeing, in combination with petroleum shortages that we have or will have coming from the Mideast. Secondarily, with the constant scalar pulsing of the Pacific Plate, we will likely see a major quake by the equinox. Whether that quake is focused in San Francisco, as the FEMA exercises have pointed out, or a little farther north on the Cascadia Fault, or a touch inland, i.e. Seattle, whatever happens, whatever big event happens along the West Coast, probably Earth movement-wise, will precipitate a chain reaction of events in the volcanoes through the Pacific Rim. And that then just is a whole other set of dominoes that begins to fall. And
mm-hmm.
the Earth will try to cool herself by generating shade from the sun. And that has always been done volcanically. We're warming to the point where we're seeing these oceans in the process of failing or have failed in some of these canyons along the bottom of the North Atlantic. And the Earth is likely a sentient, living being, and participating in creation will do what she can to protect her own self. But in the meanwhile, she will allow us to continue to do this damage until we either push her to the point of no return or we learn our lessons.
Well, you know, as Derek said a few minutes ago, you and he and I and you don't always agree on the interpretation of what we see going on spiritually. Because, you know, Derek and I come from a traditional Christian viewpoint, and I know that you're seeing, frankly, I think the same things we are. We're just coming to different conclusions as to exactly who is behind it and where it's going to go. But it's clear in the book of Revelation and in a lot of other prophecies from other religions that in the last days, which I believe we're living in, we're going to see the sun become dimmer. We're going to see the great economic hardship due to lack of vegetation on the earth.
Isaiah talks about the earth reeling like a drunkard.
Yeah, which is very interesting in view of what you're talking about with regard to
Absolutely.
The actual flipping of the magnetosphere.
Watch the sun. The sun has been of intense interest of the powers that be in this elite scientific community since the Roswell incident in 1947.
Mm-hmm.
They began surveying the sun very closely after that point in time.
Really?
We have, we don't understand gravity. We don't understand, well, it's because they still reject the existence of the ether. And gravity is simply just universal compression.
Right, again, and that's something Stan Dale's talked about, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, but what we're going to see from the sun is, well, we're at solar minimum now, which is a good place to be unless you're in the 1400s, and then that absence of activity brought about a mini ice age. But we're now at solar minimum, and we've seen very few sunspots for the last nearly 3 weeks. But I would anticipate that as we approach solar max, which is going to peak at some point on 2012 or 2013, that we see the sun going through literally magnetic convulsions. And the numerous storms will be ejected off the sun and will either be close calls to Earth or will wash across this planet. And it is my anticipation that we will see the cleansing of this planet that is biblically spoken of come from the sun.
That's so interesting that you should say 2012 or 2013,
yeah.
Which, of course, is the Mayan calendar end date to begin
and
the next sun.
It is the Mayans who talked about the arrival of the fifth sun.
Right.
The fourth sun is what we are living in now. And the third sun was a copper, reddish sun. This fourth sun is a yellow-white sun. The fifth sun being a blue-white star. And so as the sun goes through its vibrational, its frequency changes, it is already affecting every planet in this solar system, either with aurora, with warming, changes in atmosphere. Saturn's rotation has slowed down by 9 minutes just since Voyager was there in 1980. So we're seeing profound electrical changes already happening. And if you look at the work of Emanuel Velevovsky and Worlds in Collision and the Earth in Upheaval, it's these electrical processes as these bodies come into some alignment that precipitates huge changes, one of which was what occurred during the Exodus. And the land of milk and honey coming from, as Venus literally was captured by Jupiter and then electrically brought in and eased into the inner solar system.
I've never heard that theory before. That's really interesting.
It's beautiful. It's elegant, elegant work that as time has gone on, all of his assumptions, all of his theories have been verified. And mainstream science still won't get it because they see a steady-state solar system rather than one which is dynamic and electrical in nature. And the reason Venus is so warm and enshrouded by hydrocarbons is that it was directly connected to, literally, it was a comet. It was a glowing serpent in the sky. And slowly, through electrical drag, settled into its orbit, and it's still rotating backwards. I mean, it rotates backwards three times for every two times it goes around the sun. You know, so and it's hot. I mean, its surface has still been electrically and volcanically active with these surface temperatures at 800 degrees.
Yeah, described as a searing black calm.
Yeah. But, Emanuel Velevovsky, just brilliant, brilliant work from the 1950s.
I've seen his name many times, but I have not seen his name. And I've seen a lot of invective aimed at Velikovsky by mainstream scientists. I've not paid much attention to his work. But
I just I just ordered his books over the last 2 months, and I'm slowly weeding through them, and amongst all the current affairs that we have to keep up on.
Absolutely.
It's good work.
You know, you said something a few minutes ago that I thought was really interesting. You were talking about the scientists that are running things.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you've heard any of the interviews we've done with what we lovingly call the Frog Brothers.
Paul Collins,
and Phyllis
yeah.
Collins. They have a book called The Scientific Dictatorship.
Yes, which basically details the rise of what they call the scientific dictatorship, a group of men who want to control the world along scientific lines, basically take mankind and affect apotheosis, the godhood of humanity, by weeding out the undesirables and then transforming mankind so that we can transcend the limitations of humanity.
It sounds so similar to some of the things you're talking about.
You know, and without question, I'm curious about where they get their spiritual directive. Is it a physical based that because we can manipulate DNA, that we can direct and create life at our will and from our laboratories without the connection of spirit to the divine?
Mm-hmm.
Are they truly just focused on the physical? And so they have overtaken these God roles, these lordship roles that honestly, the history is full of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if you see. I believe the universe was created,
and
that at some point in the future, when we begin to understand the completeness, the oneness of it all, that the Big Bang will be renamed the Great Spark of Life. That you and I, all of us that wanted to participate in the third dimension, in the experience of polarities, of light and dark and good and bad and male and female, hungry and all of these counter emotions that we are all ascribed with living here, we chose to participate in this, and we participated in the creation as we all burst forth in that one moment. As the higher dimensions, the higher levels of experience, just literally poured out of that singularity, and then began assembling into galaxies and different worlds, and all with a design to come here, and through the fullness of time, experience and learn all that was there, all that we would make and create, and it is only when all of this experience has been experienced that the universe will quit expanding and, like a breath of God, will return. One exhale, because the universe is still expanding, that exhaling process is still going on. And at some point when it has all been experienced, the retraction of that breath, the retraction of that expression of the divine will all return, and we'll have that moment of rest when we contemplate what we have achieved, what we have learned, before we begin to plan the next mode of expression,
breath. You know, that's beautifully said. On that wonderfully poetic statement, sadly, we're going to have to say goodbye to you for now.
Well, Scott, it's been fascinating, and we certainly would love to have you back to get deeper into the spiritual aspect of what is going on with the physical world around us. Which, again, it gets right to the heart of what we do on PID Radio, how the supernatural, how the unseen world impacts our world on a daily basis. And you are right there using science and your powers of observation to discern what is taking place behind the curtains.
This is how we unify all of the beliefs of humanity before we return. I mean, we've got to combine science and spirit, and underlying all creation is potentiality. And when we realize that we all have access to that potential, we will all see the same goal, and that is returning to the Creator.
Boy.
Yeah. Scott Stevens' website is weatherwars.info, and it's a fascinating collection of articles that he's found on the web and his own essays about the manipulation of the physical world around us by these unseen powers, the Illuminati, if you want to use that term, but how they are using these technologies for their own purposes instead of for the betterment of mankind. Scott Stevens, we appreciate your time, your expertise, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you so much for joining us,
Thank
Scott.
You.
We'll have you back soon.
Sounds good.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
It was a real joy talking with Scott Stevens. He's a very personable young man, a very intelligent young man, has some different perspectives on the nature of the cosmos than we do. I'm sure you picked up on that. Rather than engage in a debate about that, we wanted to stick to the conversation about the data that he sees and his interpretation of them as a meteorologist. And he is open to talk, and so we'll continue to draw on his expertise as we see the changes in the weather around us and who and or what might be responsible for that. Tomorrow, Sharon will be back, God willing, and the creek don't rise. We thank you for listening. We invite your comments or questions. You can email them to us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com, or you can jump in at the Peering Into Darkness forum, which is peeringintodarkness.com/forum. Until tomorrow, I'm Derek Gilbert. Thanks for listening to PID Radio. Gonna step up to the microphone.